This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A second night of violence in Charlotte. Good morning. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton on Thursday, September 22nd, the first day of fall. And here's what's up this hour.
A person was shot and an officer injured in a second night of protests following the fatal police shooting of a black man in Charlotte.
Heading down the stretch in the presidential race, Hillary Clinton holds a 6-point national lead over Donald Trump in the latest poll.
Lawmakers take the CEO of Mylan to task for the price of the EpiPen.
And why we're willing to shell out big bucks for grass-fed beef.
A lot of grass-fed beef producers are urging shoppers to pay close attention to where they're actually getting their grass-fed beef. Understand the producer, where, what country the beef was raised in, because all of those things can raise a bit different taste dynamics.
Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal will be along in about 20 minutes with that story. One person has been shot and is on life support in a second night of unrest in Charlotte as riot police dispersed unruly protesters after the fatal police shooting of a black man under disputed circumstances. North Carolina's governor has declared a state of emergency amid the disturbances and says the National Guard and state troopers have been called in. Charlotte police initially reported that a person shot during the protest had died, but city officials later posted a Twitter message saying the individual had been hospitalized in critical condition. The city also says the gunshot was fired by one civilian at another, not by police. The flashpoint for Charlotte's unrest was Tuesday's fatal police shooting of Keith Scott, who police say was armed with a handgun and refused officers' orders to drop the weapon. His family says Scott was holding a book, not a firearm. Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts says authorities have not released any video of the incident.
We have a procedure for viewing the video, and while it's an active investigation, it will not be released to the public. But I am pushing transparency, making sure that we have an investigation that is of the highest integrity.
Roberts says she will view the video later today. Hillary Clinton is maintaining her edge over Donald Trump despite recent campaign setbacks, but the presidential race continues to tighten going into the home stretch. After a rocky week of controversy over her health and for calling some of Trump's supporters deplorables, the Democratic nominee leads Trump by 6 percentage points, 43% to 37%, in the latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll among people likely to vote. The two third-party candidates drew 12% support. It's the first Journal NBC News survey this year to focus on the opinions of people likely to vote. Among all registered voters, Clinton leads by 5 percentage points. She led by 9 points in the August survey. On the campaign trail in Toledo yesterday, Trump talked immigration.
In fact, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, admitted multiple refugees who were later charged with terrorism-related activities, bad ones.
In Florida, Clinton spoke about the relationship between police and local communities.
I've spoken to many police chiefs and other law enforcement leaders who are as deeply concerned as I am and deeply committed as I am to reform.
Clinton is still viewed negatively by a majority of voters. She faces broad questions about her honesty and is at risk of not drawing the levels of black and Hispanic support that President Obama did in 2012. Trump is still viewed more negatively than Clinton is and has struggled to reach beyond his core support among white voters without college degrees. New York terror suspect Ahmad Rahami assembled much of his bomb-making material in plain view and ordered components on eBay. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
Authorities say Rahami had parts delivered to a New Jersey business where he worked and even tested some of the material in his family's backyard. Now investigators are trying to determine if Rahami's relatives knew anything about his alleged plot. Rahami's father has said he had no idea his son was planning attacks. Other members of his family have declined to speak to reporters, though they are talking to investigators. According to a criminal complaint filed against Rahami, investigators recovered a video from a relative's cell phone showing him testing incendiary material in the backyard of his family's home just 2 days before he placed a series of bombs in New York and New Jersey. The video shows a fuse being lit, a loud noise, and flames immediately followed by billowing smoke and laughter. Rahami can be seen entering the frame and picking up the container. Jen?
Thanks, Mike. Investigators are also looking for two men who took a suitcase they found on a New York City street, possibly without realizing a wired pressure cooker was inside. Video shows the men removing the device and taking the suitcase. They're being sought as potential witnesses in the case, not as suspects. It's one of the most vexing law enforcement challenges of our time, tracking down lone wolf terror attacks before they happen. Alan Cullison of the Wall Street Journal has been following the story of the New York, New Jersey bomber and has more. Alan, what are some of the things we do know about people known as lone wolves?
They don't seem to have much in common. Probably the most interesting common aspect that people have been able to spot usually, though, or that they're often people who either don't assimilate well or haven't been successful in assimilating into American society and therefore end up taking up a cause, well, the jihadist cause from overseas.
There has been talk in the past of these folks as having faced poverty or having a lack of education. Are those things accurate?
No, they're not accurate, actually. That's one of it's been a big puzzle for law enforcement people to try to profile. They would, of course, like to come up with a profile for lone wolf attackers. But education, no, that's not that's a common trope. Commonly, people who do these attacks are better educated than most. And nor are they tend to be poorer than other people. That's unfortunately not a guiding principle if you want to try to spot them in advance. The situation is very complicated, and if you analyze it through a broad lens, it's ultimately dissatisfying coming up with any very good definition.
Is it generally men of a certain age, and are they single, married? Does that seem to matter?
It definitely does tend to be men, of course, although there have been women in supporting roles or active roles as well, and inspirational roles for men who act. But it does tend to be younger men. You don't see any particularly old ones involved in the ones here in the United States, at least.
Do these folks drop hints about what they are going to do?
That is actually one of the more interesting and most promising leads in the effort to spot lone wolf attackers. Although we can't define who they are, they tend to have certain characteristics in the sense that they do tell other people about their plans in advance. There was one study that showed that something like 80% of them have hinted to people around them that they were going to do it. And they also tend to leak violence. There are people who have been involved in some kind of altercations or violent acts, fights, and that sort of thing, and are just to have a predilection towards that kind of thing.
We're speaking with Alan Cullison of the Wall Street Journal. But certainly in the case of this New Jersey, New York bomber, people seeing things and reporting it really did crack the case.
That's true. It did crack the case. But, of course, there are people who saw and heard things earlier than that. I believe there's a report that the father had said that he had some terrorist ideas before and then retracted it. A lot of family members would like to report the plans of loved ones or relatives who have these ideas, but they're afraid maybe they'll make the situation worse. So it really is a judgment call, and there's no really easy way to characterize how one ought to behave, except that it is important to report what could end up being a serious attack.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Cullison of the Wall Street Journal. It's 15 minutes after the hour.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a smooth, clean shave. But you're tired of paying $32 for new blades. Stop messing around with those generic razors and start shaving with Harry's for half the price. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular shave set, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free when you cover shipping, a total value of $20. Just go to harrys.com now and enter code 0808 at checkout to redeem your shave set. That's harrys.com, code 0808.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Marcy Norton this morning. Mylan CEO Heather Bresch got a rough reception from lawmakers in a hearing over the drug maker's steep price increases for its EpiPen anti-allergy product. Mylan has become ground zero for the debate over rising drug prices in light of revelations that the company has hiked prices for the EpiPen by more than 500% since 2007. In testimony yesterday before a House committee, Bresch says it troubles her greatly that the EpiPen product has become a source of controversy. But Mylan has no plans to lower prices for the life-saving treatment, which isn't covered by most insurance plans. Bresch took heavy fire from Republicans and Democrats on the House panel, including Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia, who noted that Mylan's 94% market share gives it an unfair advantage.
Because you have such a stranglehold on the market, you can do what you want in terms of pricing. And you have.
Sir, we have had many competitors in and out of this marketplace. In fact, that's just underscores the complexity.
Your
of the
competitors don't even equal 6% of the market, Ms. Bresch.
Congressman John Duncan of Tennessee, who describes himself as a pro-business Republican, says he was sickened by the greed at Mylan. Bresch's total compensation, by the way, has surged an eye-popping 671% from 2007 to 2015 when it hit $19 million. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Marcy Norton is here with more of America's First News.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says he's troubled by this week's three fatal shootings of black men at the hands of police, and he seemed to blame law enforcement. Campaigning in Ohio, Trump suggested the officer who fired the fatal shot at Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, panicked.
Maybe people like that, people that choke, people that do that, maybe they can't be doing what they're doing.
Trump also suggested bringing back stop and frisk policies to help cut down on violence. The Justice Department is investigating the Tulsa shooting. Protests raged for a second night in Charlotte, North Carolina, after a fatal shooting by police there earlier in the week. Interest rates are staying low for now, as Federal Reserve policymakers say they need more evidence the economy is on solid footing. Here's Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen.
Discussed overall economic conditions and decided to keep the target range for the federal funds rate at 0.25% to 0.5%.
That means interest rates on mortgages and car loans will stay near historically low levels, but they could go up before the end of the year. Children's products maker Evenflow is recalling nearly 30,000 combination booster seats because kids can loosen the restraining harness. The recall includes certain Evolve 3-in-1 seats. No one's been reported hurt, but the company's received 27 complaints about kids being able to loosen the harness. Evenflow will provide a kit with a replacement harness. The U.S. government's granting permission to Boeing and Airbus, allowing them to sell aircraft in Iran. It's a landmark deal that follows the lifting of sanctions against Iran. The deals could be worth an estimated $50 billion. A vlogger from California wanted to test the water resistance of the iPhone 7, so he submerged it in Coca-Cola and put it in the freezer. Then he used a hammer to free the phone from the Coke ice block, and he says it appeared to be fully functioning. The only apparent problem was the phone's sound volume.
Okay, so that's good news for all of us who want to put our phones in Coca-Cola, freeze them, and then hammer them.
It looks like maybe this guy just needed some more ideas for his vlog. I don't know. He went
overboard. Great news. Smartphones at work. Thanks, Marcy. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal this morning. Well, grass-fed beef is all the rage, from ballparks to grocery store shelves. More of us are splurging on leaner meat. Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal has details on this eating trend. Ellen, what are we talking about when we say something is grass-fed?
Well, grass-fed usually refers to beef that was raised as cattle eating grass and other forage like hay out on an open pasture.
What do cows usually eat?
Well, often cows, when they're conventionally raised, eat grains like corn and soy, and that helps fatten them. And often antibiotics are used, growth hormones are used, and sometimes the animals are kept in confined feedlots. And so some shoppers trying to avoid those dynamics for health reasons or even ethical ones are drawn to grass-fed beef.
But does that mean, if it's grass-fed, that that other stuff isn't in it?
Well, that's where some of the confusion comes in, because the grass-fed label itself can be a little murky. The USDA uses the definition as a guideline, saying that the grass-fed cattle is raised in a pasture, eating grass or forage like hay. But often people assume that that is from a local farm and that there aren't hormones used or other supplemental growth aids, and often that's not the case. And so there are producers out there who say that the USDA guidelines don't go far enough, and they add their own.
Ellen, if it says grass-fed, does it mean it's organic? And is that something that people are looking for? They're going for the organic, not necessarily grass-fed.
If it's grass-fed, it does not necessarily mean it's organic. You can buy grass-fed beef that's not organic. In order for it to be organic, the USDA has an even more stringent guideline for that.
We're speaking with Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal. What about taste, Ellen? Do consumers think this tastes better?
Well, not everyone does. And that, again, is why a lot of grass-fed beef producers are urging shoppers to pay close attention to where they're actually getting their grass-fed beef. Understand the producer, where, what country the beef was raised in, because all of those things can raise a bit different taste dynamics. Some chefs I spoke to prefer to use beef that has not been grass-fed, because they believe that if in the final stages cattle is fed grains like corn or soy, the fat is more flavorful. That's often called grain-finished beef. But others really like the taste of this leaner beef, and they prefer grass-fed. So it really does come down to understanding where your beef comes from and trying to find a consistent taste through that.
Thanks, Ellen. That's Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the 9 to 5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. Use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's quick and easy. You even save money with Stamps.com, too, and get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, then click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the code DEAL. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Welcome to Thursday. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton. Some of our top stories and headlines. A man is shot in Charlotte as protests continue. Clinton leads Trump by 6 points in a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. Lawmakers rail on the maker of EpiPen. Actress Mia Farrow's son dies in a car accident. It's the Patriots versus the Texans tonight in football. And the origin of the term keeping up with the Joneses. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, there are a few battleground states in this presidential election, but perhaps none with quite as many local issues as North Carolina, now facing a second night of violent protests, yet another issue there. There's also the bathroom bill and the battle over voter rights. Daniel Lippman of Politico breaks it down for us. Daniel, why has North Carolina become such a critical state?
Yeah, it's kind of viewed as a critical state because Hillary Clinton's folks, they don't see a path for Trump to win the presidency if he does not get North Carolina. And so we're seeing Trump, you know, visit the state every week, you know, trying to rally his supporters. And, you know, Hillary has really stepped up with, so they're spending a lot of money in the air and in just trying to turn out their own voters.
Let's start with Trump. Who is he trying to appeal to in North Carolina and what issues is he talking about?
So he's actually not the main issues that is on the agenda in North Carolina has been those two hot button social issues, you know, the bathroom bill and also voting rights restrictions. But he's talking about trade, immigration, terrorism, and the voters he's reaching are working class white voters who, you know, don't really like Hillary Clinton and are. He's not trying to reach the very highly educated folks who, you know, live in the research triangle. So the people who are, you know, working at tech companies and finance companies and, you know, Charlotte and Raleigh, like those are not his voters. It's more rural voters across the state.
Has he been in North Carolina quite a bit lately?
He has. It's almost, you know, he has a golf resort there, I think, and so every time he goes, he mentions that, and his son, you know, has worked in the state, but he goes as often as he can, and that's kind of an indication that they view it as very important, too, because, you know, with only 49 days left to go, it's, 47, 48, then it's, you know, where a candidate goes, that's the indication of their priorities and what they think is important.
We're speaking with Daniel Lippman of Politico. Hillary Clinton, what issues is she taking on?
So her, you know, they often talk about the, you know, the governor is unpopular among a lot of Democrats, Pat McCrory, because he had been helping push that controversial, you know, bathroom bill and, you know, trying to restrict what seems to be minority voters from voting. So there's a lot of court battles. But she talks about her, you know, she slams Donald Trump every time as not qualified to be president. And what favors her is that the state's demographics are changing. And so that is helpful for her side because, you know, the state used to be this place where you'd go down and bar for barbecue, and it was the kind of a rural state with not that many, you know, yuppie types living there. But now people go to Duke or UNC and they just stay there, and, you know, there are a lot of PhD people, and those are her type of voters. Her voters are not, you know, rural working class voters who don't like trade. That's Donald Trump's voters.
Daniel, if the election were held today, any idea who would come out on top in North Carolina?
It's a real toss-up. You know, polls are showing it's kind of neck and neck. And so, you know, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball. But if McCrory, who's the governor, the Republican governor, if he's dragged down and defeated, and Richard Burr, who's also their senator, if he goes down too, then that's, you know, that's good news for Hillary because it shows that a lot of her voters came out to, you know, kind of vote straight ticket Democrat.
Thanks, Danielle. Daniel Lipman of Politico. Remember, you can take the show wherever you go with This Morning podcast published every morning on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal this morning. Don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it looks like visitors to San Francisco may soon have to pay a toll on one of the city's most famous roads. Nearly 2 million tourists a year visit Lombard Street, dubbed San Francisco's most crooked street, meaning that the neighborhood it's in is always bustling. That has prompted authorities to look into possible solutions to curb tourist traffic, one being toll access to Lombard Street. Other possibilities include adding parking control officers, encouraging the use of a cable car, and requiring a reservation to actually drive down the street. The Transportation Authority also looking to add more security by the way of cameras. One other solution may be better marketing for San Francisco's real most crooked street, which is actually Vermont Street. The Lombard gets the recognition because of the beautiful landscaping that greets you while you weave your way through it.
There are a lot of problems with this.
Do you want to start with one?
Well, first of all, you don't want to divert traffic from one bad area and make it bad somewhere else. That's not a solution.
No, definitely not.
If you stop people and charge them, that's going to be another problem.
Yes.
Right?
Right, because it's going to stop people. It's going to slow things down. It's already a highly trafficked area, right?
Yeah. And then, okay, the cable car thing might work a little bit.
Yeah.
Reservations? Can you imagine making a reservation? I want to drive down the street. I have to make a reservation
first. And again, another thing, you're going to have to check in at the top and they have to, like, scan something. It's a whole thing.
And why is this a problem all of a sudden? I mean, this has been like hundreds of years, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, like anything, you know, people ruin things, right?
So
I guess
that's true.
People keep, you know, more and more people keep flocking to it. I've never been to San Francisco, but I can say that I don't, you know, I sit in enough traffic here in New Jersey. I don't want to go to another place and sit in traffic, even if I am going down a cool zippy street.
Look at pictures of it.
Yeah, the pictures are cool.
Yeah.
And Jen, a follow-up to a story we talked about and that made national headlines back in June. The boy who was caught on camera sneaking into a neighbor's garage and stealing hugs from their dog has finally gotten a dog of his own. 9-year-old Josh Bro was apparently heartbroken after the recent death of his own dog and was just looking for a furry friend to cuddle with. So he would pull up on his bike, run in to give Duchess the dog a hug, and then quickly flee the scene. After posting the video, the neighbor said that Josh could come over anytime he wanted to visit, but many were rooting for the boy to get a new dog of his own. And now, the time has finally come. This past weekend, Josh's mom finally gave in, and the family welcomed a 3-month-old puppy named Drake into their home. The black lab came from a family nearby whose son left for college and couldn't care for it any longer. But don't worry about Duchess getting lonely now that Josh has a dog of his own. Josh's mom says that the boy and other members of the family still stop by to visit a few days each week.
What is the moral of this story, Mike Gavin?
The moral of the story is, don't know. Do you know?
The moral of the story is that every home needs a pet.
Oh, I see.
Needs a pet.
I see where you're going with this. Yes, because we had a conversation a while back about my own situation where we had a dog that died and I was kind of resistant to getting a new one. Yes, and you said that we needed one for the children and for the well-being of the family.
And you got one.
And we did.
And do you love her?
And we love her.
All right.
And it was the right decision.
There you go.
All right, there you go. It works for everybody.
Thanks, Mike. Coming up, Marcy Norton has more of America's First News. Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening. So much for those fitness trackers. A new study has found that for young adults on a long-term healthy diet and exercise program, tracking activity with a wearable device may not lead to additional weight loss. Over a two-year period, people who used wearable activity trackers lost 5.3 pounds less than a group on a similar program using a website to track their progress. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh recruited adults who were 18 to 35 years old and overweight. Half of participants began monitoring their diet and physical activity using a website. The other half were provided with a Body Media Fit Core, a wearable activity tracker worn on the upper arm. After 24 months, the wearable device group lost 7.7 pounds. The website group lost 13. Researchers stress it doesn't mean that activity trackers don't work. If it gets you to exercise, it is worthwhile. But if it's going to be a fashion statement or something to talk about, it may not be worthwhile. Now, we've been told we should never post a photo of our boarding pass online when we travel, but sometimes lessons are best learned from experience. Recently, a travel blogger noticed his Facebook friend posted a photo of her boarding pass before a trip. Now, he decided to run an experiment to see how much information he could get from the boarding pass photo, which included the traveler's name and booking reference number from Delta. Turns out just a few visible digits can ruin a trip. After plugging his friend's booking number into Delta's website, he was able to see information for all four flights on a reservation, the seat numbers, frequent flyer details, fare paid, and last four digits of her credit card number were all there. If he had wanted to, he could have even changed the traveler's seats, swapped meals, canceled legs of her trip, or ended that trip altogether. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Marcy Norton is here with more of America's First News.
A new national poll shows Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton with a 6-point lead over Republican nominee Donald Trump. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll finds Clinton leading 43% to 37%, with third-party candidates drawing about 12%. Trump spent his time on the campaign trail in Ohio yesterday, bashing Clinton.
Hillary Clinton thinks hardworking, patriotic Americans like you are the problem. She doesn't get it. And she doesn't understand how democracy works, believe me.
While Clinton talked about the nation's racial divide campaigning in Florida.
I've spoken to many police chiefs and other law enforcement leaders who are as deeply concerned as I am and deeply committed as I am to reform.
While people protested last night in Charlotte, North Carolina, they held a vigil for justice in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of another fatal police shooting. The interfaith vigil was organized to honor the life of Terrence Crutcher, whose shooting was documented on video. Testimony by the head of Mylan Pharmaceuticals seemed to anger members of a House committee who hammered Heather Bresch about the company's 500% increase in the price of the life-saving EpiPen. They rejected her claim that Mylan only makes about $50 on the sale of each pen, which now costs $600 for a two-pack. There was this exchange between Bresch and Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings.
You agree that you made hundreds of millions of dollars in profit in 2015. Based on the sale of EpiPens.
Yes, sir.
Bresch has also been criticized because of her $19 million a year salary. Airlines are poised to experience one of their most profitable years on record. The International Air Transport Association predicting the global airline industry will make a record $39 billion in profits this year. And Pokemon Go has been dethroned as the highest grossing app in Apple's App Store. The real world monster hunting game was tops in downloads for 74 days, but it's been dethroned by strategy game Clash Royale. I don't know what that is.
Not really a surprise. I mean, these things ebb and flow, and Pokemon was the biggest thing of the summer, but now it's starting to fade a little bit.
I guess once you get it and you start using it, you don't need to download it again. I don't know. Maybe it's just maxed out.
We don't do it, but your sons do, and they love it.
They do, and then, you know, it's better than sitting on the couch.
This is true.
Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. He will return tomorrow to the program. And a dilapidated mansion in the Catskills of New York, believed to have inspired the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, is on the auction block. The 24-room mansion was built in 1853 in Rhinebeck as the country house of Manhattan socialite Elizabeth Jones, a member of a wealthy family and aunt of novelist Edith Wharton. The property's elegance is said to have prompted owners of nearby Hudson Valley estates to build even bigger mansions, giving birth to the idiom, keeping up with the Joneses. The Wyndcliffe Castle fell into disrepair under various owners and was abandoned in the 50s. It was purchased in 2003 and is being put up for sale by its owner. The assessed value, nearly $313,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Marcy Norton, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.